Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
I'm really excited to get into this word today. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the life of Moses. And Moses, most theologians and most scholars would say he was the greatest leader to ever live. The way he led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness is the stuff of legend, except it's not a legend, it's real. It's in God's word. And I want to pick up where we left off. The first week we talked about calling in question. Man, you ever felt like you've been called but you had questions? Last week, we talked about things that might be blocking us, and we titled the message, What's Stopping You? Every time God calls you to do something, let me tell you something, it's always going to be something that tries to stop you. Today, I want to pick up in Exodus chapter 5 of verses 22 to 23, and then we're going to jump right into Exodus 6 verse 1. So it's a continual set of verses. Promise you it's going to bless your life. This is the good time. Go get your Bibles right now. Take notes. You say, well, I got to take notes. They might not help you right now, but they're going to point you back to a place in God's word. It's going to help you when you need it the most. So get ready. Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, and then we're going to jump right to Exodus 6. It reads something like this. Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Says, is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Whew, those are some bold words to come from a man to God. Look at chapter 6, Exodus, verse 1. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. I like that. Underline that. Now you will see. Oh, that's so good. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. And because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. If you're taking notes on this third part of these collection of talks through Exodus and Moses, I've given it this title, Good Trouble. Good trouble. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. God, let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be tuning in today to get this message, Lord. And I'm praying that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. I pray that hearts, minds, and ears are always open and receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. I pray that by the time it's all said and done, at least one person out there is going to get to know you in a fresh new way. They're going to get a fresh revelation of you. And God, I pray that we all get in a lot more good trouble because you're not afraid of trouble at all. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Give me about 5 seconds. Get up out of your bed. Jump up off of your couch. Take your bonnet off. Make sure you get yourself ready. Stretch out a little bit. And on the count of three, we're going to give God about 5 seconds of crazy praise. Here we go. One, two, three. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to start this message with a public service announcement for Joanne Wilson, my lovely, beautiful wife. I love you. You are amazing. You are everything to me. After Jesus, of course. But I love you. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous. And I feel like I had to say that because the next part of this message may get me in trouble. So I had to set myself up for the win later. I love my wife a lot, but occasionally we go out, you know, we have our date nights and we're going different places and things like that. And it's all good. Me, I am a stickler for time. I like to be on time everywhere I go. So when I know I gotta get somewhere, I'll get ready like an hour early because I know I don't need an hour, but I just wanna be ready because I wanna get in my car. I wanna be prepared. I got my MapQuest set. I know where I'm going. I like to get places on time. My wife, there's a saying that she likes to live by, never on schedule, always on time. My wife is never on time for anything. And a lot of the reason for this is because my wife has a routine. She has this elaborate routine to get ready. I think she's beautiful naturally. I don't think she needs to do all the stuff that she thinks she needs to do, but she goes over the top. I mean, lashes, just doing all this right here. Edges, curled up, edge control on another level. I mean, she's doing her thing. I mean, I don't think she needs it, but she just does it anyway. And then she got to go through all the outfits and this and that. And my wife, she asked me a question when she's done with all the pageantry of her getting ready. And as long as I've been married to my wife, there are still moments where I get the answer to this question wrong. Fellas, if you have been married for a while, if you are not married yet, if you have a significant other in your life, I will save you a lot of heartache right now. Whenever she gets ready, she's going to look at you and she's going to ask you a question. And the question is this: how do I look? Based upon your response to this question, your day can go from good to bad to worse in a second. I am still not smart enough to realize that when my wife asks me, how do I look? Because I'm in a rush, because I'm trying to get out the house, I know she look good. I tell her she looks good every day. She is fine and all mine. But because I'm trying to get out the house, my response to how do I look is, you look fine. Men, please listen to me. This information could save your life. When your wife asks you, how do I look, love? Your response should never be, you're fine. No. Listen. I have said that many a times. And when I say, you look fine, you know what she says? Well, you don't like what I'm wearing? Oh my God, you must hate it. I'm like, wait. How did you translate you look fine to I don't like it? I hate what you're wearing. I don't like the way you look. Like, listen, men are very simple. When I say you look fine, I mean you look fine. It does not translate to I don't like what you're wearing. It does not translate to you don't look good. It does not translate to oh, you think I look fat. No, I didn't say that. All I said was you look fine. And then you know what happens? Because I know that I've now put my own foot in my mouth, I spend the rest of the time trying to articulate to her how beautiful she is. And then I must affirm her. I say, no, baby. You don't look fine, baby. You look gorgeous. You look amazing. You are beautiful. I mean, you are an angel sent from above. Oh my goodness. The angels are looking for you because you fell from grace. Like, I'm trying to recover, y'all. And it doesn't matter what I say. You know why it doesn't work? Because my wife is petty. Because this is what she does. When I say, baby, you look great. If I look so great, then you would have said that the first time. But apparently, I'm just fine. So there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to, no matter how many compliments I shower her with. Doesn't matter. She's going to go back. She's going to change her outfit. She's going to do a whole routine again. And I better get it right the next time. I tell you, we have missed entire events because of this issue in the Wilson household. Please, please pray for us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to make something better only to realize that you've made it worse? Doesn't matter how much good you do, the thing that you were trying to make better only got worse. Man, this happens to myself and people all the time. It's like, man, I just had to say something. If I would have just kept my mouth shut, things wouldn't have gotten so bad. If I would have just left when I had the chance, I stayed too long, now I've done something that I regret.
I tried to fix things, but I should have just minded my own business and left well enough alone. Have you ever tried to do something good and found yourself getting in trouble? Man, this is crazy because we hate to get in trouble. Everybody wants to do the right thing. We despise trouble, especially men and women of God. We don't want no trouble. We don't want no problems. We sing songs like "Trouble Don't Last Always." And here's the thing that I want you to understand today. You may be looking for trouble to leave. You may not want trouble in your life. But what if I told you some trouble was necessary for you to get closer to God? There's trouble in our lives that some of us are trying to avoid, and God wants to use that trouble for your good and his good. See, that kind of trouble, that's what the late Representative John Lewis called good trouble. He got into a ton of good trouble while he was alive. I mean, he got a fractured skull. He was put in jail over 40 times. But man, because of all that trouble, this is the same man that spent 34 years in Congress, and people loved him so much they call him the conscience of Congress. Until his last dying day, he always promoted good trouble. What if I told you that God was a fan of good trouble? A lot of us want to avoid trouble, but I believe as men and women of God, he is calling us to get into some good trouble. And if I could be honest, there's a couple things that I want to really impart on your life today to let you know why it's important to get in trouble. And the first is this: God loves trouble. God, oh man, see, so saying, oh no, that's false doctrine. Listen, God loves trouble. Look at what the Bible says in Exodus 5, 22 through 23. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people?" Now, if you've been with me for the past few weeks, we know that Moses was called by God. He left Egypt, was in the land of Midian. He hears the voice of God from a burning bush that would not burn up. God shows him signs and wonders. Moses makes excuses. He has questions for his calling. God says, enough of your questions. I gave you everything you need. I'm giving you the rod of God to perform miracles. I'm giving you Aaron to speak for you. Now go. We know that the next week, the thing that happened is he went out with his child and Zipporah to the land of Egypt to follow and be obedient to what God called him to. And God almost killed him. Why? Because he had failed to be obedient to all the things that he was supposed to be as a Hebrew man. He did not circumcise his son. But thank God that Zipporah did it for him and redeemed him by the blood. Now, this week, after Moses, this is where we find him, goes and speaks to Pharaoh. Now he's having he's throwing a tantrum with God. I've been there. I've said some prayers to God where I'm like, Lord, please don't strike me down. But this is where Moses is. He says, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued them at all." The nerve, the audacity of Moses to pray a prayer like that. It's not like God didn't tell him beforehand. He said, "Hey, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let my people go, but I'm sending you so that my people let go. So don't get discouraged, okay? Because I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, but you're going to meet opposition." But Moses didn't care about that. He forgot what the word of the Lord was. And he was like, "Why, God? What? Like, this what you sent me for? This is not what I signed up for. Like, what is going on?" Was Moses justified in his prayer? Yeah, he was, because he was right. God is the one that got him in trouble. It was God that got Moses in the trouble that he was in. You know why? Because I love God. He loves trouble. He wanted all the smoke from Pharaoh, as social media says these days. He wanted the smoke. He wanted the problems. He wanted the trouble. He wanted the issues. And here's how I know. Look at this. Look at this. In Exodus 5, 1 through 2, it says, "After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says.'" He says, let my people go so that they may hold the festival to me in the wilderness. Listen to what Pharaoh says. This, I'm telling you, God wanted the smoke. Listen to Pharaoh. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh dismisses the God on high. Pharaoh dismisses the creator of all things. I don't know who this is. I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't letting anybody go. They belong to me. And I can see like Moses' face break because like he's showing them the signs and the wonders. He's like, yo, you still don't get it. And Pharaoh's like, who's this God you're talking about? I don't believe in that. Sidebar. As a Christian man or a woman, there's going to be times where you profess your faith to people and they're going to ask you, I don't care or I don't know who you're even talking about. You're trying to sell a God to me that I don't even believe in. Listen, we cannot get discouraged. We cannot get weary in doing good. Just because somebody does not receive the message does not mean you should not keep delivering the message. Sidebar, another sermon, another time. I love this because I can see God in heaven. I can see Pharaoh saying, I don't know your God, I don't care. I could see Moses like, oh, I thought the rod of God was going to help me. I thought Aaron speaking for me was going to help me. And I could see God in heaven. I could see him like, because it was such a setup. It was such a setup by God. I'm going to send you into a place with opposition, and I know that you're going to fail. I know you're going to fail. And I could just see God in heaven because this was a holy set up. What did Moses ask when he got set up? Why? Why, God? Why? God's literally like laughing in heaven because he set this whole scenario up for him to fail, and Moses asked why. Have you ever asked God why? Have you ever asked God, like, why'd you put me in the situation you put me in? Like, why am I here? I understand, Moses, because I'd be very frustrated if I knew that God sent me into a situation to fail. The first thing I'm asking is why? What, like we couldn't have saved time? Like you know, like why would you allow me to go? And it's like, why? Let me ask you this. How many times in 2020 alone have you asked why? How many? I mean, listen, in the history books, when we get to the chapter about 2020, it's going to be one page and have one word on it. It's going to say, why? Why? Why did this year ever come? And this is what we do as human beings. We always ask why when we meet opposition. Why, God? I ask this to myself. Why, God, did you make me a homeschool teacher? I'm terrible at it. Why, God, did I put on the quarantine 15? Or maybe you've asked, why did I lose my job, Lord? Or why did me or my family member have to get sick, Lord? Or why did you allow this virus to come, man? We were fine before that. Or why am I having issues in my marriage? Or why didn't I get a stimulus check to keep my failing business from going under? Or why is my house in jeopardy? Or why do I have to worry about if I'm gonna be the next victim of systemic racism because I was driving while black, jogging while black, sleeping while black? Why do people have such a hard time accepting that somebody that looks like me just matters? Why, God? Why is all this stuff happening? And why, like, we've lost so many people in 20. Why do the good die young, God? Why have you ever in your life been to a place where the only thing you could do is ask God why? The reality is we got to stop asking God why, because that's the wrong question. You don't ask God why, you ask God what. What am I supposed to be learning in this situation that I'm in right now? You don't ask God why, you ask God how. How am I supposed to behave in this situation? Like, how is my character supposed to shift and change and develop in this? You don't ask God why, you ask God who. Who am I supposed to help? Who am I supposed to bless? Who is watching me in this situation? You don't ask God why, you ask God when and where. Where do you want me to be? When do you want me to get there? But you do not ask God why, because this is what you need to know and remember, exactly what Romans 8:28 says, that all things work together for for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. If you found yourself asking why, I really want to connect you back to that verse, because that verse tells me if I am a child of God, if I love him, no matter how bad the situation is, how crazy the situation is, how misunderstood the situation is, I won't even ask why, because I know everything that's happening, every bit of trouble I'm in, every circumstance I'm in, every trial I face will all work out for my benefit in the end. Don't ask God why. That's the wrong question to ask. Just know that he works all things out for your benefit. But then look what happens with Moses after he asked why. In Exodus 5:23, it says, "Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has brought trouble on his people, and you have not rescued your people at all." I mean, that is such a powerful, such a bold, such a brash prayer coming from Moses. You have not helped your people at all. It says, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has brought trouble on this people and you have not rescued them at all. This is an interesting statement because Moses puts a lot of emphasis on Pharaoh. Here's the issue. Moses had a life-changing encounter with God on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, same mountain. He saw a bush that was burning that did not burn up. And then, I don't know about you, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but Moses actually did. He hears the audible voice of God and he sees a bush that will not burn up. He saw the Lord, he heard the Lord, but in his commentary to the Lord, he's putting more emphasis on Pharaoh. How can you see God, hear God, and still give more power to the enemy that God has called you to face? I want you to understand something, and I want to be very clear about what I want you to catch in this moment. Moses gave Pharaoh power after God had already shown who he was and said what he would do. Never allow the enemy of your story to become bigger than the hero. Listen to me, man. Listen, some of y'all out here walking in problems, and all you could do is talk about what somebody did to you or what the enemy is doing to you. It was so bad that this was not just Moses' problem. It was the Israelites' problem, because Pharaoh was like, okay, y'all gonna send y'all boy Moses to try to get y'all free? Then this is what I'm going to do. You still need to make the same amount of bricks for the monuments you are making for me. You're not going to get any hay from me. And if you do not make your quota, I'm going to destroy you and your people. So now you got not only Moses upset, but now you got the Israelites upset because they made Pharaoh bigger than he was, because they believed that the power that he had to do something to them was greater than the power God had to actually deliver them. Listen to what I'm telling you now. You got to be so careful to stop giving the enemy power. I've said this before and I've preached this before. I get disgusted when people give the enemy credit for stuff. It bothers me. Why are we, the devil made me do this, or the devil did that? I don't give him that power over my life. The enemy only has the power that you give him. Pharaoh only had the power that the people gave him. Stop blaming the devil on stuff. Stop letting the enemy have more time in your story than the hero, because the story is not about the enemy. He might have a chapter, he might have a verse, but he does not inundate this entire story, because this entire story is not about him. We must get beyond the place where our enemies are bigger than the hero, and the hero of our story is Jesus, for the Bible calls him King of Kings, calls him Lord of Lords, calls them Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. So the enemy may pop up in your story, but the hero started the story and he's going to end it. Listen to me. Stop giving people power over you, because they cannot take the place of the hero in our story, who is God the Father. Pharaoh gets so mad. Like I said, he says, meet your quota. I'm not going to help you. And look at this. The Hebrews get so mad at Moses. Look how they respond to him. Exodus 5:20 and 21 says, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. Like they were mad. Like they were done with Moses and Aaron. It says, you have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hands to kill us. I don't ever want to get to the place where I lose so much faith that I get comfortable being around the enemy. That like, did you have made us obnoxious to the enemy. Listen, I live to be obnoxious to the enemy. So, see, some of y'all playing too nice with the devil. That's the problem. You're not obnoxious to him. Listen, every day I wake up, I want him to be like, dang, man, that man got up again. He is so annoying. He drives me crazy. Every time I preach this word, every time I love somebody, every time I help somebody, every time I point somebody towards Jesus, I want to be obnoxious towards the enemy because, like I said, the enemy is not the star of this story. Here's the thing. The Hebrew folks, they get mad. They get mad at Moses. But Moses was God's deliverer. Moses was sent by God to deliver them. But the Hebrews were mad at Moses because they were mad about the blocks that they had to continue making with no straw. You hear how ridiculous that is? You're mad at the person that's sent to save you because you're mad at the thing that's directly in front of you. Listen to this word. Never let what's blocking you blind you from what's blessing you. Hear me when I say that, church. Never, ever let what's blocking you blind you from what's blessing you. Sometimes we're so focused on the problem that we cannot see the resolution coming in the distance. Man, some of us have gotten to a place where we need faith because just because we can't see salvation does not mean that we're not being saved. Just because you don't see it, this is why salvation requires faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just because you don't see salvation doesn't mean you're not being saved. I've been a AAA member for a long time. I love AAA because if my car ever breaks down, I call AAA and they come. If I had any gripes about AAA, it would be this. Sometimes I call them and they take a really long time to show up. You ever been there? I mean, I'm talking about, I've called and I've had to sit for hours at times. And because I don't always have the patience of the Lord that I need to have, I'll call them back and they'll pick up. Here's the thing about AAA. They always pick up when you call. Sometimes I just be calling like, yo, it's been 20 minutes. It's been an hour. It's been an hour 20. Y'all told me ETA was like 45, but now I'm getting to that 2 hour mark. I keep calling. I keep harassing them because I see my car broken down. I see I'm stranded somewhere. I see the issues I have, and I keep looking out my window, waiting on my salvation to show up, and it hasn't come. I keep looking, and I'm starting to get frustrated with the thing that I've been waiting on because all I see is the problem that I'm sitting in. And while this is going on, I begin to get frustrated and I begin to wonder, man, are they still coming? Man, did they forget about me? Like, let me just call back again to make sure that they haven't forgotten me. I want somebody to understand this is the way that we see God. And the thing about God is when you call him, not only does he come, but sometimes he will allow you to sit in the trouble while you're waiting for him to come in the distance. Because the difference between AAA and God does not get aggravated when you call him. He gets excited. Sometimes he'll wait a really long time just to show up. You know why? Because he wants to see if you're going to keep calling him. God loves trouble because he wants you to sit in it long enough to see if you're going to give up on calling him or not. Some of us have gotten to the place where just because God hadn't showed up, we say, oh, he forgot about us. Oh, he must not be listening. Oh, he must not be real. No, every time you call God, when you sit in your trouble, he gets excited because he says, oh man, not only do they need me, they believe me and they keep on calling me because they know that I am the only thing that can save them from the thing that they are sitting in right now. God loves trouble. God loves the smoke because it gives you a reason to call him. Listen to me, saints. We can never get tired of calling on God, because even if you don't see him in the distance, he's going to show up. He just wants to know if you're going to keep calling. But not only does God love trouble, some things can't be seen without trouble. There's just some things in life you will never see without trouble. Look what Exodus 6, 1 says. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. Man, I love that. I love that passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see. Let me stop right there. Now you will see. Now you will see. I love this because this is God's response to Moses when Moses says, why, God? Why'd you send me here knowing that this thing wasn't going to work out? Not only did it not work out, I tried to do something good. I tried to make things right, and all I did was make stuff worse. The same people that I was trying to help by showing up, I made their life worse. Why is that? Why are you okay with that, God? Like, you said you was going to help me. You ain't even help them. I showed up to do good, and all I did was get people in trouble. Listen to God's response. Now you will see. Now you will see. I think that's so important because God was not willing to show himself until the trouble came. Now you will see. Moses says, I'm in trouble. God says, now you will see. I'm messed up. Now you will see. I've hit rock bottom. Now you will see. I can't escape this life. Now you will see. My marriage is falling apart. Now you will see. My kids are lost. Now you will see. My bank account is on zero. Now you will see. I got sick and the doctor said I ain't gonna make it. Now you will see. The word of the Lord for somebody today is trouble helps us to see. Listen, oh my God. If you catch nothing else that I said in any of this message, you need trouble. Because without trouble, you cannot see. You cannot see who God really is until there is trouble. God, I love God because he directs Moses through trouble to set the stage for his miracle. God allows a problem to be a platform for a miracle. See, Moses, he says, I've been called. And this is what we all do. We get called and we feel like, oh, I'm the star of this movie. God called me. Because he called me, it's about me. And you see so many people, they get called and then they fall because they feel like they were the star, but they forgot God was the director. I don't care how big you think you are. God will allow trouble to come just so he can remind you who's directing the movie of your life. You might be the star, but the director is the one that dictates the way the movie goes. Speaking of movies and Hollywood and direction, the world lost not only a great actor in recent days, but they lost a great man. They lost a humanitarian. They lost a philanthropist. They lost a mighty man of God in Chadwick Boseman. This story is really a hard one for a lot of people to process. And I don't personally know him. I've never gotten a chance to meet him. But I was trying to figure out, like, why does this man's death affect me so much? Like, why do I, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I've been in my feelings, man. Like, I've been watching the movies, I've been looking at interviews and stuff all over again. And I was trying to figure out why his passing holds so much weight. I feel like every time I watched him, he was playing an iconic figure, Jackie Robinson in 42, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown. It was like he was the actor that they found that just would hit legendary roles. And the thing about him that I thought was interesting is I never felt like I was looking at him when I was watching the movie. I felt like I was transported into the lives of these historical figures. He did something different and fresh and new every time that I thought was so amazing. But of all the iconic people in history that he played, his most iconic role was a fictional character by the name of T'Challa, Black Panther. It was a beautiful role for him because this was the first time, especially in this comic book superhero world, that we saw a black superhero. And people were wondering, well, why does this film have so much buzz, man? It was representation. Representation matters. I'm a comic book fan. I've been one for my whole life. I've been a comic collector my whole life. And when I was growing up, the people that I had to look up to were like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, but none of them look like me. But man, when Black Panther came out, it was like, I could see myself as that. It finally showed us that people that looked like me were extraordinary human beings. They were extraordinary. But here's the thing about the Black Panther, T'Challa, not only was he a great fighter, not only was he super strong, he actually, if you read the comic books, he had an Oxford level education. He was brilliant. And not only was he brilliant, he was a king. He was regal. He was royal, but he was a benevolent king. He loved his people and would do whatever he had to for his people. As a 37-year-old man watching this film, man, I was astounded. Like, it was representation for people of color that I've never seen in a movie before. And it broke so many records. There was so much pride that welled up in people. I mean, we were walking around the streets giving the Wakanda salute. We were saying Wakanda forever. It was like the dopest hashtag. It was nuts. Robert Downey Jr. was even quoted as saying that this was the greatest film to ever be produced by the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And he was the star that got the Marvel Cinematic Universe off the ground. But everybody held Chadwick in such high regard and in such honor. But everything changed on August 28, 2020, when the world finally found out, when it was revealed to us that during the time he was creating these amazing characters and during the time that he was bringing characters to life that have been so beloved by people around the world, he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. Now that we know that, I started replaying different movies and different interviews, and the meanings of all of them changed. There was one interview in particular where they asked him, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And his response was to stop time. He said that 2 years ago in an interview with no one on the planet except for family and very close members of his team, knowing that he was just suffering in silence the entire time. All the while visiting other children with cancer, he was motivating and encouraging their life while he was losing his life behind the scenes. The revelation of his illness gave everything that he did in the last few years of his life so much more meaning. And what made him so great was that he was purposed to do the impossible. And now that we know the illness that he had, we know that it could not have happened without God's mighty hand over his life. You see, we're all sad that cancer took his life. But if the trouble of cancer wasn't revealed to us, we wouldn't really understand how powerful this man's life really was. And here's what I want you to understand, church. There are things you never realize are a miracle until you're fully aware of the problem. Hear me, saints. There are things right now that are happening in your world that we often take for granted,
And because the problem has not been revealed, we don't even see that we're looking at a miracle. Trouble is the lens that allows us to see the miracle. And not only did this man do great things, but because of the lens of the trouble that he went through, we realized how powerful he truly was. What I want you to hear today, saints, it's hard to see God without trouble. It's hard to see God without trouble. Time and time again in life, we want to abandon our trouble. We don't want trouble. But trouble is the vehicle that God uses to show up. Don't get mad at trouble. You should be inspired when you have trouble, because when you have trouble, you know God's coming. He's on the way. He's done this time and time and time again throughout history. Because we see the Israelites live in the trouble of oppression, we're also there to see that God has set them free. Because we saw Noah lived in the trouble of the flood, we now see that God gave him the plan to save all of humanity. Because we see Daniel was in the trouble of the lion's den, we now see that God could only be the one to shut the mouths of the lions. Because we saw Joshua in the trouble of the wilderness, we now see that God delivered them to the promised land. Because we saw David was in the trouble with Goliath, we now see that God gave him the boldness to kill the giant with the slingshot. Because we saw Peter in trouble with the Sanhedrin, we now see that God sent an angel to set him free. Because we saw the trouble of Paul and Silas in the midnight hour singing in the stocks in jail, we now see God open the doors of the prison to release them. And when Jesus is dying on the cross, in the trouble of the cross, that trouble was the only thing that revealed to the Roman soldier that Jesus was the Son of God. You see, without the trouble of the cross, we never see the miracle of the resurrection. Trouble is the lens in which we view a miracle. And Moses didn't want trouble, but God knew he had to have trouble. So now he could see that God is the only one that could save him. God loves trouble because he knows it's the only way some of us will ever see him. I don't know who you are today, but maybe you found yourself in a lot of trouble. You say, man, I can't anymore, man. Like I'm trying. I'm in trouble. I messed up. Every time like I try to live right, something crazy goes wrong. Like I'm always in trouble. Like people don't believe me. Like my life is a mess. Like some days I feel like I got it together. Most days I don't. This pandemic hasn't helped. This economy hasn't helped. This racial tension hasn't helped. This depression hasn't helped. This solitude hasn't helped. I'm in trouble. You may find yourself in trouble today. But just because you don't see your salvation doesn't mean you're not being saved. When you're in trouble, call on Jesus. Because Jesus loves to deliver people from trouble. Trouble shouldn't make you sad. Trouble should get you excited, because it gives God a reason to show up. For God loves trouble. That's good trouble. The trouble that attracts the attention of heaven, that's good trouble. And maybe you say, man, I've been in trouble a long time. Let me tell you something. You ain't the only one. I've been in trouble my whole life. I was lost, in trouble. He found me. I was blind, trouble. Now I can see. I was dead. Trouble, but he brought me back to life. God loves trouble because he knows
He's the only answer for your trouble. And if you feel like you're in trouble today, all you gotta do is keep calling him. He's not tired of you. He's not upset with you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And he's allowing you to go through this trouble right now because it is setting the stage for us to realize that when we see you, we're looking at a miracle. You're a miracle today. If you're in trouble, God set the stage for a miracle. If you need Jesus today to get you out of trouble, all you got to do is do what Romans 10:9 says. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is the only one that can deliver you from your trouble. If you believe that today, I want you to raise your hand. Count three. One, two, three. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. I can't see it. And I don't care who's in the room looking at you do it. It's not about your hand. God could care less about your hand, but he can't see your heart. Can't see your heart. He wants to get you out of trouble today. If you believe that, I want you right now to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned, not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness and take the place of my sin. I ask and you would accept me into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Man, let me tell you something. You said that prayer, you got yourself into some good trouble, because now God's going to use you to start stirring things up in this world because you are a child of God. Let me tell you right now, the angels are going crazy. Jesus is up on his feet. The spread is laid out for you because, man, they are welcoming you to the family. All of heaven is welcoming you. And I want to take some time right now to celebrate you because that's what family does. So on the count of three, come on, y'all start hitting those hearts. Start hitting those claps. Start hitting those likes. Come on, get excited. We're going to cheer for all our brothers and sisters that made the decision to meet Jesus today. Here we go. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that have decided to get into some good trouble as a believer in Jesus Christ. Man, I'm so excited and I'm so thankful for you. If you made that decision today, I want you to pay attention to the prompts on the screen right now. All you got to do is text that number and we will connect with you and we will let you know that you are a part of an awesome family called Cool Church. We're bigger than Cool Church. You're a part of the family of heaven and we're going to get into some good trouble together in Jesus' name. You can also even type in, man, I met Jesus today. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Somebody on the chat, one of the hosts will connect with you because we love you. Man, once again, if this message blessed your life, share it. Hit the share button. Share, 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 share. I think there's other people out there in trouble right now and they don't realize how good their trouble is because their trouble is the lens in which they can view the miracle. I love y'all so much. So many different miracles out there. I'm so proud of each and every one of y'all. I can't wait to finally be with you again. And I'm gonna bless you out. And right after I do, Stacy has a word for you. So Father God, I thank you for the most wonderful people in the world, the people of Cool Church. Bless them. They rise up and they lie down. They go out, they come in, they're laboring in their leisure, God. Surround them with your presence. And God, I pray against sickness, I pray against disease, and I pray that this week of their life will be the best week of their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.